The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a day it's been so far. I will tell you in a moment. Welcome to a Friday. Oh, thank God it's Friday. Or thank dog it's Friday. Anyway, I'm Nicole Sandler coming to you live, as usual, on the Progressive Voices Network and at NicoleSandler.com. We stream on YouTube and Facebook Live and Twitter. Twitch is sort of gone the way of the dodo these days just because there were bugs in the machine. It wasn't working right, so I just stopped for a while. The other thing that and I have no audio. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. You'll understand why in a moment. I know there's no audio. Give me 1 second. Audio, audio, audio. There we go. Okay. All right. Now there's audio. Let me explain why. this was all screwed up at the beginning, too. There was no audio here. My camera, for whatever reason this afternoon, just stopped working. The camera on my computer, and I've got it, you know, wired in. So I had to go to the backup camera, and it's still jerry-rigged. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And therefore, this shot didn't have audio on it from the beginning. It's coming. It's coming. Bear with me. It's coming. So I've had to move things around to get it to work today. That's why the shot maybe looks a little different because it's from the backup camera. So I know what I'm doing this weekend. Hey, troubleshooting the gremlins in the studio. But see, it's a good thing that I taped this conversation with Robin Kincaid earlier today because, you know, she and I are on the air at the same time, except I do 1 hour. She does three. So we'll talk to Robin Kincaid, you know, the broadcaster formerly known as Bob Kincaid, who lives in West Virginia. Thus, the graphic at the beginning, it said almost heaven, West Virginia. A bit facetious, you know, I guess you need to have a sense of humor. Now we're buffering. Oh, my goodness. This is just one of those days. So what has gotten me so crazy today, aside from all this other stuff, is the spam. So let me tell you, I've worked really, really hard to keep my email from getting right-wing political spam. And I've been successful throughout all of, you know, Trump's two campaigns and his 4 years occupying the Oval Office. I never, ever got on his email list. I don't know if it was diligence on my part or just none of the idiots ever, you know, decided to sign me up for their thing. Well, that all changed today. I'm going to share with you what happened this morning. So I go online, and this morning, it was, 10:18 a.m. I'm going to pull up my inbox so those of you who are watching on video can see this. So at 10:18 this morning, I get an email, and the subject of it is Trump Cash Blitz. And I'm thinking, oh, no. What? And sure enough, so... this email came to me from action@victoryforamerica.net. That's the return address here, right? Then, about an hour later, I get another one. This one from NRCC Chairman, that's the National Republican Campaign Committee, Chairman Tom Emmer. And this one comes from an address that is info@freedomandlibertyinamerica.com. And I'm thinking, okay, that's weird. 10 minutes later, so that was 11:23. At 11:35, I get an email ostensibly from Tom Cotton. And the subject line is Biden's free crack pipes for drug addicts. Oh, give me a fucking break. And this one came from info@patrioticdefendersoffreedom.com. But wait, there's more. Sure enough, we move on 10 more minutes. It's 11:44 a.m., and I get, you won't want to miss this, from action@conservativevictorynow.com. telling me that my Trump membership status has expired and there's a limited time offer of 50% off for a 2-year membership. Give me a break. Then the next one, they waited about 45 minutes, 12:16 p.m. And I get one from info@electconservativesinamerica.com. By now, I'm pretty well pissed off, as you can imagine. The next one comes from, allegedly, Marsha Blackburn. The subject is, I'm terrified of what may happen next. And this one came from info@conservativeswintogether.com. So I've already read to you, you know, I don't know, more than half a dozen of these emails, all coming from different email addresses. But there's something fishy here, right? So I scroll down to the bottom of these emails and I see the same. Here, let me bring it up again so you can see it if you're watching one of the video streams. They have the same, you know, unsubscribe box at the bottom. It says, this message was intended for Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. You were added to the system December 29th, 2021.
Bullshit.
Yeah. And then there's a click. There's a link. It says unsubscribe. So I click the unsubscribe link and it brings up. Hold on. It brings up this this message and it says source information for your email address. And it says that a description of how, because I clicked on it. It gave me a message saying, how was I added to this? How was I added to this list? And it says that I opted in. It says, again, all of them, all of these different email addresses say December 29th, 2021 at 7:23 p.m. Pacific time. I promise you I did not. And it says, this list has been organically populated via opt-in subscribers. Again, I say,
bullshit,
because I never opted into any of this crap. So, you know, I went a little further to see where, you know, where the unsubscribe link leads us to. And go figure, they all lead back to this company called, what are they called? ParamountCommunication.com. And funny, there's a phone number there. And there's an email address. So the first thing I did was I emailed them. And, well, you know me. At this point, I had already gotten a couple of dozen of these emails in a matter of 2 hours. So I'm pissed, right? So I wrote to them. The address, by the way, was abuse. Because, you know, abuse. Abuse at ParamountCommunication.com. No S on the end, in case you were wondering. Abuse at Paramount, P-A-R-A-M-O-U-N-T, communication.com. And the subject line read, stop fucking spamming me. And I wrote, somehow one of your cretins subscribed me to your Republican email lists, and I've been spammed nonstop for the past few hours. And then in all caps, I wrote, remove me from all of your lists now, or I will escalate this to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, who has jurisdiction over this crap. Stop fucking spamming me. And then I waited all of, you know, 3 minutes and I didn't hear anything back. So I picked up the phone and I called. You know what? Actually, they are, I do know. I'm buffering again, right? This makes no sense. No sense. Anyway, so I'm already screwed today. So let me play for you the beginning of the phone call with Paramount Communication Inc. And the only reason I can play this is because they're based in, I want to say, Virginia. And this, I think it's Virginia, whatever state it is a one-party consent state, meaning that, and I can't believe we are buffering like this. There's absolutely no reason for it. No reason for it. Here's how the phone call went, at least the beginning of it.
Paramount Communication.
Yeah. Can I speak with someone who deals with your email lists and stuff?
Our clients? Yes, this is Suzette. How can I help you?
Hi, Suzette. I have been spammed relentlessly over the last 24 hours from a number
of... Are you Nicole?
Yes, she got my email.
Okay, I just replied to you.
What the fuck?
I just replied to you.
This is ridiculous. Absolutely.
Well, someone obviously, one of our clients own their list. We don't own them. They're not Paramount. They're just Paramount clients use our platform.
So they pay us. Every single one of them, when I clicked on how was I added to this list, they all say that I was, that this list
that
is.
That you opted in?
Right. On December 29th, 2021 at 7:23 p.m. So they all said the same time, the same place. Really? All of these lists?
Yeah, probably a big client. A big client had you in their list that they sent to.
And so they
and
just
they
facilitate
it? Multiple accounts and imported you. All that confirms is imported. But obviously, if you haven't been spammed from them before, you know, since December 29th,
yeah,
they haven't used them. It just means that's when they uploaded their list.
Huh.
And so they probably select and send to all their frequent donors or openers and take a section of those that are in their database that haven't responded, you know, like 10%, and send to them once a month to try and activate them.
Don't you have any protections against this?
Because yes,
this
they do.
Criminal. This is shutting down my business.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
She's
it's
so
it's
sorry.
Gonna stop. It's right now the techs are updating. I have a global suppression list. That's what my email says. We have a global suppression.
Okay, so it went on like that. The thing is, all of these Republicans pay this company to administer their email lists. They should have a fail safe in there to prevent this kind of shit from happening. So I wasn't satisfied. I had a few more choice words for her. She hung up on me. Oh, well, I thought, I'm just going to go to the FTC. And sure enough, there is a website. I think it's, FTC.gov will get you there. And you just, you know, look around. Turned out, I came up with a form, but I couldn't explain in that form what happened. So I called and I got a very nice woman on the phone. And when I started reading off the different email addresses that they all came from, she's like, oh, that's not good. And I explained it all pointed back to ParamountCommunication.com. And so I filed a complaint. And I hope they get taken down because this is some class A bullshit. So then this woman wrote me back and she writes, thank you for your email. We will add your email address to the global suppression list, which will prevent any and all of our clients from sending you emails from our platforms. This update will be completed within 48 hours. 48 hours? I'm not going to sit here for another 48 hours of this shit. No. And so I sent her back another email. And she's like, shame on you, Nicole. You don't have to use that language with me. To which I said, you know, fuck you. Fuck you. I was actually going to play a song, but I realized that I replaced on my soundboard the fuck you song with a song for the asshole truckers in Canada that was just sent to me moments ago by our pal, Boca Brittany Summers. I think we need to hear it.
Ain't gonna get the vaccine, I don't want my brain magnetized. Don't want my balls to swell up to a giant economy size. No, the vaccine ain't for me. I don't believe in good hygiene. And I'm gonna block the road because I'm a really dumb trucker asshole. I got my AM talkers to tell me how I should think.
Well, yeah, y'all.
I'm on a steady diet of cranking in amphetamine. I got my stuffies, new got rolled, and an empty water bottle of gold. Now I'm gonna block the road because I'm a really dumb trucker asshole.
And hey, really dumb trucker
yeah,
asshole.
I'm gonna protest with my 18-wheeler rig. And that's a point made best by a smelly redneck pig. Gonna run over those lefties and just tell them that I did not see. And I'm gonna block the road because I'm a really dumb trucker asshole. Yeah, I'm going to block the road because I'm a really dumb trucker asshole.
Woo! Okay. there you go. That was a book of Brittany Summers with the song for the really trucker assholes up in Canada. And I hope they stay out of here. All right. With that, see, I needed to unwind. And it's a good thing before any of this crap happened and the gremlins really took over my studio and apparently they're still attacking, I spoke to our friend, Robin Kincaid. So let's check in with Robin Kincaid, shall we?
Back. Joining us on the line now is our old friend, Robin Kincaid. She is the host of it. Now, the show is Head On Live on the Head On Radio Network. I always
mess up. The website is headon.live. The show is technically Head On with Robin Kincaid, and it's all part of the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
And you've been doing this for how many years now?
18 years.
Wow. Now, but you came out of radio, right? Or how did you get to where you are now? What's your professional?
My first job in high school, all the cool kids had the hamburger jobs. And I wound up with a job spinning records and reading the news at a gospel radio station.
And that was in Alabama, yes?
Yeah. That was in Northwest Alabama. And I did it all through high school. I DJ'd in college at the college radio station up in Morgantown, West Virginia, U92 FM. And that's going to be a problem. Loud trucks. Left out of there, worked in local radio there in Morgantown, went back to Alabama, overnight rock and roll DJ'd and talk radio hosted during the day, and eventually left there for CNN, spent a couple of years there.
Really?
At one point in time, I was the youngest person ever to deliver a worldwide radio news broadcast.
Wow. Wow. Well, and then you struck out on your own, which is, you know, sometimes it's out of necessity, which with me, I tried to work for other people as long as I could until they just weren't having me anymore.
That's exactly what happened with me as well. I mean, in the early aughts, I decided to go back into radio because it was my first love, and worked in America's fifth smallest radio market until I got under the skin of the coal industry. That was about the same time that internet broadcasting was coming along. And so we put together The Horn and went on air internet only on October the 24th, 2005.
That was very early. That was very early. So, I mean, back in 2005, I mean, people were still on dial up. So you had a real challenge out of you, but you've been building steadily ever since and going strong.
So I think we were sending a 12 kbps stream at one point in time for the dial-up crowd.
Wow. You know, back in 2000, I think, yeah, I worked for a radio station in Los Angeles that was sold thanks to, you know, consolidation because of the Telecommunications Act of 96. And this station was owned by Clear Channel, and we convinced them to let us take it online to be the first radio station to transfer seamlessly from an over-the-air signal to an internet-only signal. And we got tons of press. CNN was there covering the switchover live, Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune. I mean, we got because we were pioneers.
And then, exactly. That's the word that came exactly to mind. Pioneers,
right?
Because everything was new back then.
That's right. But then
the word podcast had not even been coined yet, I don't think.
No, it had not. But then the dot-com bust happened, and we were too early. And in fact, in all that press, I was quoted as saying things like, well, if we're not too early, but we were. So, but then when it started coming back, I guess you were one of the pioneers of internet radio and doing the Horn for a long time. Now, so you were born in Alabama, but you wound up in West Virginia. How long have you been in West Virginia?
Well, that's the thing. I'm the only member of my family that was born in Alabama.
Ah.
Everybody else is West Virginian. It's just dumb luck that I wound up being born down there. My dad went down there for a job in 1960, and I followed shortly thereafter. But I've been coming back and forth. I've been coming back and forth to West Virginia since infancy, and so I came to Morgantown to finish my degree in 1983 and have been here more or less with a few notable exceptions ever since.
Now, I love talking to you, and we've spoken many times over the years. I think one of the first times we spoke was back when I was on Air America, and you were actively working, in addition to doing your radio show, on trying to eliminate mountaintop removal coal mining in West Virginia. You were trying to help shepherd legislation through Congress, trying to get it to the attention of members in the House and the Senate. Is that campaign still going? The AKE. It was called AKE, right?
The Appalachian Community Self Emergency Campaign. And it is still a going concern. We are still working on it. Lo, these many years. In fact, this summer will be 10 years. Wow. And I love being, you know, I mentioned being at one point in time the youngest broadcaster ever to, you know, do a global newscast. I like making history.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things the AKE campaign did. We are the first bill ever introduced in Congress, and we remain that way, with the potential to end the Appalachian apocalypse and stop the poisoning and killing of thousands of innocent Appalachian people, not only in West Virginia, but Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee as well. And the bill is in the House now. It's really hard to work a bill now with the pandemic, because you can't go up and just do the handshaking and the hi, how are yous and the education that you need to do. But we continue to work on it. It is H.R. 2073. It's still the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Act.
That's what AKE stands for, the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Act. Okay, just
yes.
Right.
And this summer will mark our 10th year working the bill. So I remember a long time ago when we first started, a brilliant member of the House of Representatives, you may remember her, Louise Slaughter.
Sure.
Said, are y'all ready? She was from Harlan County, Kentucky. And she, even though she lived in and represented a district in New York, she still had that Harlan County accent. She said, are y'all ready to work this thing for 10 or 15 years? And I said, yes, ma'am, we are. She said, then let's do it.
And you are.
And here we are, lo, these many years later.
So now 10 years later, is there much support for it? How is it progressing?
Well, we've in the last Congress, we actually had a committee hearing, which was a first, and that goes along with all the other firsts. We'd like to see more movement, but a lot of our plans sort of got put on hold by the pandemic, unfortunately.
Everything.
But we continue to work on it, and hopefully someday we'll be able to get back to D.C. and do the work that we are very, very good at doing.
I hear you. So Robin Kincaid is our guest. There's a lot of different ways, a lot of different areas we're going to cover. So we talked about your broadcasting career, which is that's what you do. But you're also an activist, and you spearheaded this campaign to stop mountaintop removal mining in Appalachia and surround, just stop it entirely. You've been fighting the powers that be in West Virginia, because West Virginia is not exactly welcoming territory for a progressive, is it?
It's a little bit more difficult to be progressive in West Virginia than, say, maybe Massachusetts or New York or California. But it's a, I joke that, you know, God made West Virginia to train, to teach humility. and we are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a necessary struggle, because there's so much good, so much right about West Virginia, so much to love about this state, that it seems like if we're ever to have a real future that includes all of that goodness, we've got to deal with the detritus of our past. And, you know, if I understand, this is not me being anti-coal or anti-coal miner. I'm pro-coal miner. I'm deeply affected. You know, I'm the daughter, the granddaughter, and the great-granddaughter of UMWA coal miners.
Hmm.
Okay. Union coal miners. But I'm deeply aggrieved at the fact that, you know, it's probably north of 100,000 West Virginians have been killed in the last 125 years in service to an industry that didn't give a damn about us, Nicole. And once they were done with us, they left us high and dry. It's their it's their business model. It's how they work. And there deserves to be some justice in these coal fields. And of course, now that I've finally come into my own authenticity, I find a new reason to be loud and to be and to engage in another struggle. As a trans woman, I watch the shenanigans of our Republican supermajority legislature with nothing short of abject horror. Mm. The attack, I mean, the very nerve of a party that calls itself a pro-family party or says that they have family values, the very nerve of them attacking the weakest and most vulnerable children in our state with bills attacking trans kids just for being trans, trying to keep them from being able to get medical treatment, trying to cheat them out of a significant portion of their educational experience, is nothing short of repugnant. It's intolerable, and someone has to speak up about it. And that's why, Nicole, this past January 29th, I believe it was, I made history again.
Yeah.
I am now the first trans woman ever to run for a seat in the West Virginia House of Delegates, the lower house of our legislature, because if these Republicans are going to do the evil that they're doing, they need to look a trans person in the eye when they're speaking their scurrilous slanders and their libels. They need to see uphand. They need someone to tell them straight up what it is they're doing. Because among other things, Nicole, there was one statistical analysis a few years ago that shows that of all places, West Virginia likely has the highest per capita concentration of trans youth in the entire United States.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's
they deserve a voice.
Without a doubt.
They deserve a voice. Yeah.
So I was going to get there, but let's go there now. So Robin Kincaid, back in, I think it was September of 2020, maybe like 6 months into the pandemic, I'm tooling around on the internet one day, and I see you on Twitter. I followed you on Twitter for many years, and you said you changed your name to Robin Kincaid. And I thought, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading, and then it becomes apparent to me. It's like, wow, Bob Kincaid is now Robin Kincaid. And I reached out. I'm like, what's happening here? And you told me that after all these years that you've decided to become your authentic self. Yes. And so you came on the show. I found it courageous and fascinating. You came on. We talked about it. You had just decided to go public with it, because you've known you were a trans person since you were young. Yes.
Oh yes. Since I was very little. I mean, what, 5, 6 years old, something like that. I've known, didn't necessarily know how to put it, but you figure things out, or you figure that things aren't right. And then you grow and you realize that you're sort of at your body is at odds with your gender. And so, yeah, on September 15th, 2020, I took my first dose of estrogen and quit smoking cigarettes on the same day, because I couldn't have the estrogen without quitting smoking. Mm-hmm. So that was it. As a 43-year smoker, that was a huge accomplishment.
I bet.
And it was the only, and this was the motivation that I had yearned for all along. And I came out to my radio audience on New Year's Eve 2020, came out on MSNBC in February 2021.
I saw that, right? You, Chris Hayes, yeah. Show you were on, right?
Yeah. It was sort of unintentional, but when we were talking about, because we were talking about some of the things Joe Manchin does.
Yes.
And I just said along, I said, oh, by the way, there's been some changes.
Right. Well, I guess.
So, oh, we know. And we're so proud and happy for you. I've had a magnificent experience, Nicole.
Have you?
I was scared, like any trans person is coming out, and especially as an older trans woman. I didn't know how I would be received. And it turns out that I happen to live in a wonderful place, Fayette County, West Virginia. And it has been nothing but welcoming, nothing but kind, nothing but accepting. And that's one of the reasons that I decided I wanted to run, because the incumbent right now who represents the district where I live spends most of his time hating people who do not have nearly the strength and power that he has.
Hmm.
He despises gay people. He despises bi people. He despises lesbians and pan and asexual, non-binary and trans. He wastes the time for which he is paid to be in the legislature supporting bills to attack that community. And it's like I said, it's unconscionable. It's obscene. And frankly, as someone who, you know, apart from my transness, thinks myself, you know, pretty everyday and average, it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
These Republicans bawling and braying and hooting and grunting about the people they hate is embarrassing, because the people they hate are the people they're supposed to represent.
Right. It always works that way. It's astounding that, you know, they get elected in some cases, and hopefully this time they won't. So you're officially running. You're actually on the ballot as Robin Kincaid Welch. So if people see it,
right.
That's how you're listed there. And how has your candidacy been received so far?
Very well. Very well. We're still in the initial stages. I got a late start because, you know, coming to the decision. But in fact, I'm in a bank parking lot right now because I'm doing paperwork for a bank account, for the campaign's bank account. We're working to set up an account with Act Blue. We're not quite done yet, but that'll be there. And frankly, it's going to take it. These campaigns take a lot of money.
Sure.
I'm happy to be a history maker in terms of just running, but I really want to make history by taking a seat there. And I feel like, I have a primary opponent, and I have nothing but good to say about him, but I think that I'm the person for this moment.
So this is, you're running for, is this the West Virginia legislature? Is this a district?
Yes, this is our lower house. It's called the House of Delegates.
Okay.
And we've just been redistricted, and I'm in a district in Fayette County called it's District 51 of the West Virginia mm-hmm. House of Delegates. And it takes in the county seat and a lot of the rural surrounding communities in that county. And the primary is May the 12th.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of time.
No. So now let me ask you this. I know that if you were still on terrestrial radio, doing over the air radio, you couldn't run for office while you were doing a show, if I recall.
Probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
But there are no such regulations governing the internet, doing an internet show.
I don't believe there are.
Right. I don't think so either.
I've researched it. I haven't seen anything. And frankly, I'm not campaigning on my air.
No.
Three hours a night isn't even enough time to cover the things that we have to cover on any given day without me pitching my candidacy. So I've got an entire, we've bought domain names. I've got an entirely separate website. It's not up and running yet, but it mm-hmm. will be. It will be Robin, R-O-B-Y-N,
uh-huh.
for, F-O-R-A-L-L, Robin for All.
Okay.
Because that was the motivation that sort of dawned on me, because we need someone who will represent all of us, who will listen to all of us and not be a closed door simply because of how one believes or how one lives or how one loves. We need a representative for all of us, and I'm her.
Gotcha. Well, I love that you're doing this. I think it's great. Do let me know when the website goes live, and I can push it.
Oh, I will.
So this is totally separate from you're not even using your radio show to do this. And I must commend you that you're still doing a 3-hour daily show. I used to, you know, but yes.
These days, it's all I can do to get through an hour.
I don't do anything different. Being a Southern girl, I can barely say my name in less than a half an hour. So it takes a little time to go into the detail that I like to give a story. That there's a big difference between doing a 20-second reader, as you well know, in a 5-minute newscast, and trying to dig into the details of something and, you know, have the occasional conniption on the air, because that still happens. So I need those 3 hours, and I love the conversation that we have. So I call what we do conversation radio, because it's much more intimate and much more in depth than just, you know, hey, Rush, love you, man.
Ditto, mega ditto. Yeah.
Mega dittos from Busted Knuckle, Rush. I want to have your babies. Well, that's enough about you. Let's talk about me.
Right.
I've never been able to. I hate that method or that format.
You and me both. So, Robin, we can't talk about West Virginia without talking about I don't even know what to call him anymore. The shadow president, the power grabbing Joe Manchin.
I call him Queen Joe.
Okay.
Because, you know, the queen on the chessboard has all the power. And he's behaving like the queen of America, whether we want a queen or not.
Exactly. I mean, I get that West Virginia has elected him to the U.S. Senate, but the population of West Virginia is quite small. Tiny. And who gave him the power? Well, we didn't vote for him for president. I never voted for him.
No, we didn't. And just like we didn't vote for Mitch McConnell for president when Mitch McConnell was being queen of America.
That's right.
But it works out that way. And I actually, Nicole, I answer a lot of questions from people that, you know, want to go, why do your people send Joe Manchin to? And you should see what the Republicans run.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Okay. If Joe Manchin is ever beaten, the Republican who will replace him will make Joe Manchin look like Mahatma Gandhi. Okay. Because it'll be some wild-eyed, right-wing, QAnon, Trump worshiping maniac.
Right. So, but how did Joe Manchin get to this position where he's elected time and time again in West Virginia? Is it because he used to be governor?
Well, I mean, the Manchins have held a great deal of political power in this state for a very long time. Manchins were friends with the Moore family, and you'll notice we've got a senator named Manchin and a senator named Moore. It goes way, way, way back. And, you know, there's an old saying that runs around West Virginia: no Manchin ever voted for a Democrat whose name isn't Manchin. All right. There's just a long, involved, and frankly unpleasant history of the power acquisition there. And he did build his power. He started out as a state senator, got beaten in his first run for governor by a woman, which occasioned some of the nastiest politics that this state has ever known. That was 1996. Wow. But he went on, became Secretary of State, then he became governor, and bided his time until Robert C. Byrd died, and then ran for the seat that had been vacated by Bob Byrd. And the rest, as they say, is history. The reason he has the power he has, though, Nicole, has actually nothing to do with West Virginia.
Right.
And everything to do with the antiquated, anti-democratic relic from the days of enslavement rules that still animate the Senate of the United States.
You're right.
And what I keep telling people is, you know, why won't you elect somebody besides Joe Manchin? Look, Joe is the nominal head as the highest ranking officer of my party.
Right.
All right. What we have to realize is Joe Manchin is going to be senator for as long as Joe Manchin wants to be senator.
Wow.
There is one way and one way only to solve the Joe Manchin problem. And it begins in November of 2022, Nicole.
Okay.
There's an opportunity to elect John Fetterman
to
the Senate from Pennsylvania.
Yep.
There's an opportunity to elect Tim Ryan to the Senate from Ohio.
There's even a better candidate from Ohio, but gotcha.
Right. No, I get it. I mean, there's a great progressive candidate running against Rand Paul, libertarian
ophthalmologist. Oh my God, Charles Booker is running in Kentucky. He can beat Rand Paul.
Yeah, there's an awesome woman running in Iowa And if you notice, we're in Pennsylvania, Iowa, Kentucky, Ohio. We haven't mentioned Wisconsin. We haven't
Florida.
A great candidate in Florida. Well, so if you could, if the Democrats could hold their own and pick up those six seats, guess what happens to Kirsten Sinema and Joe Manchin?
They're irrelevant. They are irrelevant. Exactly.
They get to go and sit down and shut up.
Exactly.
You know, they get outvoted.
I pulled a clip from something Joe Manchin said to a reporter one day. He didn't mean it in the way that it came out, but, you know, I hold on to it. I don't have it queued up now. But he said, I'm not progressive. I'm not, you know what? If you want what you want, then you need to elect more liberals. Well, damn sure.
Yes, exactly.
Please. Thank you. It's the one time I've agreed with him. But I got to ask you this, Robin. So when I think that, you know, and you've said it to me many times because I've asked you the question so many times over the years, can't West Virginia elect a real Democrat, not just a Republican like? And you said, no, it's Joe Manchin or it's going to be a Republican who you just said is going to be worse. But I remember in the primaries, Bernie Sanders did really, really well in West Virginia. So there is a big progressive groundswell there.
There is a progressive urge, Nicole. But you also have to remember the dynamic that obtained with Bernie's primary candidacy in West Virginia. And that is that Nitwit Miro, Trump, stood in the Charleston Civic Center and said, "No, I want all of you to go out and vote for Bernie in the primary."
Oh.
And they did.
Oh.
Because we have a primary system here where if you are a registered Democrat or an independent, you can vote in the Democratic primary. If you're a registered independent or a Republican, you vote in the Republican primary. So there were a bunch of people who went out and voted for Bernie because COVID Caligula told them to.
Oh, okay. Well, that I'm never told that part of it. Okay.
And you know, that was the appearance, I think, where he pantomimed shoveling coal. He was shoveling coal. He was wearing a boss's helmet. And the thing is, media in this state is quite often so bad that nobody calls out certain realities. And that is, you know, I love coal miners. I love them so much. But you know what? When he was interviewed for Playboy in 1995, he said, "You know, I like to think if I was born somewhere like West Virginia or something, that I'd have more brains than to be some coal miner."
What?
Yeah, yeah, it's there. You can go find it.
Wow. Hey, okay. Well, all right.
I mean, that's the thing, I want to talk to West Virginians like me and not like me, where, you know, we have to meet each other where we are. And the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump wouldn't pee on West Virginia if we were on fire.
No.
Okay?
No.
He despises us. We're the butt of a joke to him.
Well, he despises his followers. Those people who worship him, who think he's one of us, he's sickened by them. He's grossed out by them. He doesn't want to shake their hands. He doesn't want to be in their company. He just wants to take their money and their votes.
No, exactly. And by the way, you were asking earlier, aren't there some progressives in West Virginia? Yes, there are. And she's running for office.
Damn straight. Hell yeah.
We crawl before we walk. So if you don't mind me saying so, we don't have the Act Blue set up or anything, but we do have a post office box.
Please. What is it?
And it's going to cost a lot to run this campaign. The address is Robin for All.
Mm-hmm.
And it is P.O. Box 958, Beaver, B-E-A-V-E-R, West Virginia,
okay,
25813.
Okay. P.O. Box 958, Beaver, West Virginia, 25813. Yeah. I will post that on my blog where I post today's show, so it'll be up there. So if someone missed it.
I really appreciate it because we've got to pay for a website to be built. We've got to buy road signs, yard signs, door hangers, flyers, buy Facebook ads, as obnoxious as that is. We've got to do all these things, and none of it is, you can't do any of it on love and good intentions.
Right. Right. Absolutely not. I salute you for doing this. But look, now you've got two full-time jobs and you're keeping them separate, which is, you know, I talk about it on the show. I talk about everything on the show. But I understand why you want to keep them separate, kind of, sort of, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, once we've got the site up and everything and built a little Facebook page for the campaign and stuff, I'll direct people over there. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Frankly, when I say Robin for all, I mean all.
You know, that's something that on the left we have that I've not seen from our counterparts on the right. You know, Joe Biden still, as Obama did before him, much to my dismay at times, says, like, I want to work, you know, I represent everybody. Donald Trump never once said, I'm everybody's president. I represent the Republicans and the Democrats because we were the enemy. And Democrats don't consider people from the other, an opposing party, the enemy, just people with whom we have some ideological disagreements. But,
sure,
you know, now with the whole talk of Biden getting to nominate a new Supreme Court justice, all of a sudden the Republicans are like, well, I hope it's somebody that can get bipartisan support. What, did they ever give the Democrats that consideration during when Trump stole three Supreme Court seats?
Of course not. That's not. No, the rules are for them, not for us.
Right.
Civility is for them, not for us.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know how we ever get back to a better time, but we need to. And the fact of the matter is, you know, I look at this business with these convoys. They're talking about trying to
link
one up and do it here. And I've had a little catchphrase for months, if not a year now, in regard to January 6, 2021. And every time I see some insurrectionist getting 15 minutes home confinement and a $3.13 fine, I say, y'all, they're gonna do it again.
Yep. Without a doubt.
It has to be, there have to be consequences. What happened on January 6th has to be, we need to see it vigorously investigated and relentlessly prosecuted. And some very powerful people need to spend some very serious, hard time turning big rocks into little rocks inside an entirely different kind of gated compound.
What are your thoughts on Merrick Garland? Is he up for the job?
To go all the way back to when President Obama nominated him, Nicole,
mm-hmm.
I read up on him back then, and he seemed a very pro-police, middle of the road.
Mm-hmm. Conservative.
And he was a conservative judge, and President Obama selected him, appointed him, because he thought he could get him through the Senate.
Because he thought he would get Republican support. Again, you know, the definition of insanity. And then Joe Biden just a couple of weeks ago saying, well, I didn't think I'd come up against this level of obstruction. Where were you for those 8 years?
Yeah, I never thought Lucy would pull the football away again.
Right.
It's painful to behold. Somebody. It's like I sometimes think I should get that quote from Maya Angelou tattooed on my forehead in reverse, so I can see it in the mirror every morning. When someone tells you who they are, believe them the first time.
Right. Right. And it's like a broken record. I know the young kids don't understand when the record skips.
I know.
But it is. It's like that scratch record. Like, oh, and it's as annoying as a record skipping. And they just don't learn. This is why I've been on a crusade of sorts for the last few days. I've just had enough. Nancy Pelosi announces that she's running again. She said this was going to be her last hurrah, and she's 83 years old. Her two top lieutenants in the Democratic House leadership are Steny Hoyer and Jim Clyburn. The three of them, the average age among them is what, 84?
And the collective age is 200.
Oh my God. Look, and here's how I put it. This generation, and I guess I'm part of it, I'm a baby boomer, I'm at the tail end of the baby boom, but our generation fucked it all up. And we're not fixing it. We're making things worse. It's time for them to get out of the way and let the next generation take over. We've got AOC, Pramila Jayapal, you know, the list goes on and on. Let them take over and give them a chance to fix what you screwed up. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you are. And I think it's, who is it? What is it? Power is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
I happen to think Nancy Pelosi's been one of the most dynamic speakers of recent history.
Yes, but now it's time for her to go home.
And it may be time for her to knock off. She does seem capable of learning because she was opposed to bans on trading and now she's for one.
That's a
sea change.
Believe them when they say it the first time. She was opposed to bans on trading. Her family is uber wealthy, and I guarantee you, they weren't before she came to Congress. There's a problem there, and the fact that she's like, "Well, it's the free market, it's capitalism," that's a problem. I think she was pressured so much that she had to make a sea change.
I think if you're in those offices, you are under relentless pressure.
Yeah,
and you know the commercial. Look, we have a capitalist campaign system too. We don't talk about it that often, but our political system is every bit as capitalist as our economic system is.
Well, you know the thing we've been screaming about for more than a decade is get money out of politics. But of course, it was more than a decade ago that the Supreme Court ruled on Citizens United that says money is speech. And the more money you have, the more speech you have.
Not just that. My favorite, and I'll have to paraphrase, but my favorite quote is from Anthony Kennedy, who said, "Listen, just because you give a politician money and tell him you want him to do something and then he does it, doesn't mean you've bribed him."
Oh, come on.
I mean, it was a little bit more, I don't know, floral legalistic language than that, but that's what he said. And you couple that with old Balls and Strikes John Roberts declaring that there's no such thing as racism anymore, and it's like, oh look, well here we are. Wonder why?
Right. Exactly. Oh, and by the way, we never did get to the bottom of why Kennedy retired when he did. And all of a sudden, I guess debts were paid off and things. You know, yes, money and politics don't mix, but that's the system we have.
His son was Donald Trump's banker at Deutsche Bank.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of do need to bear that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. No, money and politics. This is one of the things that has been at the forefront of what we need to fix to turn this ship around, but we're just moving in the wrong direction. So you running for office is huge. Now we need other people who are listening, who are like-minded, who could say, you know what? I can run for office.
You can do this.
This is the time to do it, right?
Exactly. You can do this. I mean, there are trans members of legislatures in Delaware, in Virginia, a couple of other states. There's a magnificent trans woman who sits on the city council of Wheeling, West Virginia, is a friend of mine. She's just fantastic, great progressive values. But that's about breaking a barrier. What we need is people with progressive commitments and the ability and the skills to get out and the courage, frankly, to get out there and do this.
And it does take courage.
And not to be scared off and not to be run away.
You know, and that you're doing it is great. Now, look, Robin, you've said that people have been very welcoming and very accepting of, you know, your new reality. But I'm guessing not everybody. The ugly side of people come out? And how do you deal with that? And especially when you're running for office, that's on a whole different level.
I heard it secondhand, so it's gossip, but I heard a story the other day that a couple of people were talking about the various races in my county, and somebody said, "Well, what about District 51? And somebody piped up and said, and gave my opponent's name and said, "Oh, and some queer."
Some queer? You're right, yeah. You're right. Well,
I guess that's me. Just this humble hillbilly woman who wants to break a barrier.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there are so many issues that face our county and our state. You and I are having a conversation. We started out early on talking about, you know, the beginning days of internet-based radio. Yep. Yep. And I still think of it as radio.
Radio. I do radio. Right. We're old school.
And I can't get used to the idea of podcasts. I never even understood what that meant in the first place. I just consider it an archive. It's pre-recorded radio. But I say that because West Virginia so sincerely goes begging for broadband access. And I live in the middle of one of the things that makes where I live so wonderful is we are in the middle of a national park. The newest national park in the United States, I think, still the New River Gorge National Park. And we have millions of tourists. Okay. And we need broadband access. We need it for our kids in school. We need it for our businesses. And it's like pulling hen's teeth.
Well, and when you think about, there was money in Build Back Better for broadband access. And Joe Manchin's the guy who shut that whole thing down. So it all comes full circle. And sure you're making the moves to change it.
If the internet was fired by coal, West Virginia would have the best internet in the world.
Oh, man. Ugh, on that note, Robin, I so appreciate the time. You're obviously you're busy. You're out running around. You're in your car. The sound and the connection was surprisingly really good, considering you're sitting in your car.
I'm so glad. I mean, I've got the windows up and everything, and I'm always pleased when I get a little bit of decent audio. And for some reason or another, this isn't a plug or anything, but I have more luck with the audio off of my iPhone than I do off my Android. So that's why I'm
interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
It's been such a delight talking to you.
For me too.
I hope we get to talk some more about it. And when I get all the stuff up and running, because I want people from all over the country and all over the world involved in this campaign saying yes, saying yes to representation for all of us, even in a little legislature like West Virginia's.
Absolutely. Now, a plug for your show, and we are taping this earlier in the day because you're on the air at the same time I am. We can't talk. We're competitors now, and that's why we have archives or podcasts of both our programs are available after the fact. But if people want to listen to you live or after the fact, headon.live.
Headon.live, and there's a player there that'll play the previous day's program nonstop.
There you go. And you do 3 hours, 5 days a week. I salute you. I don't have the energy anymore, and I get too angry. So, you manage to pull it all off and run for office at the same time. Robin Kincaid, you are you're an inspiration, and I love talking to you.
Anytime
there's something with your campaign that you need to get out, let me know. Let's get it out there. We need to get you elected.
I absolutely will.
Thank you
I
so
look
much.
Forward to it all. And thank you so much. You are my first official interview about this campaign. So
I'm
thank
honored.
Thank you for being that.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. And we'll talk again soon. Keep us posted.
All right.
Robin Kincaid. She really is. She is a warm, genuine person. And I'll tell you something. When I've known her for years, I knew her as Bob Kincaid. And he was the guy in West Virginia who I could call up to talk about the coal industry and Joe Manchin and the AIC Act that he at the time was shepherding through Congress, trying to get senators and congressmen to pay attention to it. And then when she came out as trans, I couldn't have been more surprised. Again, I never knew her very well, but you know, she always had this very, I guess it's the hillbilly in her, right? And I always saw her as more of a, certainly not as a woman. And now I don't see her any other way. It's interesting. We live in interesting times. And I'm glad we do, because you heard her. She knew from the age of 5 or 6 that she was in the wrong physical body, and lived with it for over 50 years. And now science means we can change that. Anyway, I wanted you to know about Robin. It's another show you can check out. But stay here live weekdays at 5. And then you can go over now to headon.live because Robin's on the air tonight for another 2 hours. So go check her out if you're looking for somewhere to go when we end. But that's it. We're done. That brings us to the end of a Friday show. So the weekend is here. If you like the Super Bowl, if you're a football person, enjoy. If not, enjoy the weekend. That's what I'll be doing, I hope. And we'll talk next week. I don't have much booked for next week, but the Yes Men are back. The Yes Men. Do you remember the Yes Men? Well, if not, I am excited to introduce you to them because the Yes Men were awesome. Okay. With that, we're done. I will leave you with the news. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend. Bye now.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
President Biden will sign an executive order regarding the $7 billion of assets from the Afghan Central Bank that are sitting frozen in the U.S. banking system. The money was frozen after it became clear that the Taliban would seize control of Kabul last year. The Taliban, of course, has urged the U.S. to release all of the funds to help them with a humanitarian crisis in the nation. But the New York Times reporting on Friday that the Taliban will not get the money, Biden instead is going to sign an executive order that will designate half of the money to humanitarian relief efforts in Afghanistan, and the other $3.5 billion will be used to compensate victims of the September 11th 2001 attacks. Finally, a win for Me Too victims. The Senate passed the Ending Forced Arbitration of Sexual Assault and Sexual Harassment Act, which, as the name suggests, bans forced arbitration in cases involving sexual misconduct and allows the victims the option of bringing up the dispute in federal, tribal, or state court. Previously, victims had been bound to closed, often secretive legal proceedings. This bipartisan legislation ends the use of forced arbitration clauses for sexual harassment and assault claims, which employers had used to limit the legal options employees can take when suing companies. More than 60 million Americans have been subjected to forced arbitration provisions in employment contracts. Earlier this week, the House passed it in a 335-97 vote. The Senate approved it by voice vote. It now heads to the White House for Joe Biden's signature. Well, in case you hadn't noticed, inflation is back. A key measure of inflation climbed to a near 40-year high last month, making the steepest annual price increase since 1982. The Consumer Price Index rose 7.5% over the last 12 months, and Americans felt those price increases across the board on everything from groceries, housing and furniture to used cars and healthcare. One price that did fall, hotel stays, most likely due to canceled travel plans during the Omicron surge. To fight inflation, the Federal Reserve is eyeing major interest rate hikes. President Biden on Thursday acknowledging the stress inflation has put on American budgets, but he claimed, quote, there are also signs that we will make it through this challenge. In fact, it should be noted that the underlying U.S. economy is quite strong. The GDP grew at its fastest rate since the 1980s. More than 6 million jobs were created during the last year, thanks in large part to the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan, passed by Democrats and signed by President Biden. And unemployment is low. Home prices and the stock market remain strong, although the Fed raising interest rates soon will have an impact on both. Adding to the inflationary problems, trucker protests at the U.S.-Canada border are threatening supply chains and creating major disruptions. Access to 3 border crossings in Michigan, North Dakota, and Montana have been cut off by truckers protesting COVID-19 vaccine mandates and other rules, prompting the Canadian government to send additional officers and resources to demonstrations around the country. For 2 weeks, the truckers have blockaded the downtown of Ottawa and other critical roadways. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Thursday that the blockades are, quote, hurting jobs, businesses, and our country's economy. But the protesters, sparked by a group known as the Freedom Convoy, say they're not leaving until the vaccine mandates are lifted. So have you been watching the Olympics? Perhaps you saw the magnificent performance by Russian teenage figure skater Kamila Valieva. It was her double quads that helped propel the Russian Olympic Committee to win gold at Monday's figure skating team event. Well, now we learn that she was allowed to compete despite failing a drug test in December. It's unclear if the drug test controversy will have the medal revoked. But the 15-year-old skater tested positive for a banned substance before the games began. The International Testing Agency on Friday said it would fight the Russian anti-doping agency's decision to let Valieva skate. The Court of Arbitration for Sport will hold an urgent hearing to decide whether she can compete in the singles event next week. My question is, if the Russian team was suspended from competing in the Olympics because of these doping problems, why are they allowed to compete as the nonsensical Russian Olympic Committee at all? Just asking. The House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack found gaps in White House logs of calls that the then president made as he watched, reportedly gleefully, television coverage of the riot. Investigators haven't found evidence that the records were changed or deleted, but Trump was known to sometimes use his personal cell phone and those of aides to call staffers, allies in Congress, and confidants. Just one more sign of the former guy hiding evidence. This Sunday, the Super Bowl begins at 6:30 Eastern Time. The LA Rams play the Cincinnati Bengals in Los Angeles at the new SoFi Stadium. This could be the hottest Super Bowl ever played. I'm not talking about excitement. I'm talking about temperature. There's a heat advisory in the area. Sunday's high could reach 88 degrees. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is completely listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.